This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
When the news broke out about the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China, it made the soybean industry especially happy. A Bloomberg report says, don't forget about wheat, which could also be the big winner in the agreement. Speculation is rising that China will work to fill its wheat buying quota as part of the agreement. That will likely create a new demand for wheat because China has failed to live up to its wheat purchasing promises in the past. Soybean purchases are likely to be somewhat more limited because of the African swine fever outbreak across the country, which will typically lower demand levels. If Chinese wheat purchases were to reach the quota mark of 9.6 million tons, that would represent a huge demand jump. In the 6 years prior to and up through 2017, buying has averaged less than 50% of that allotment. The timing could be good for U.S. farmers. Tighter corn supply in Brazil and wheat supply in Russia, the world's top wheat exporter, have made American grain more competitively priced in the world market. That's already causing Chinese importers to begin to boost their purchase levels from the U.S. The Chinese Ag Ministry says large hog farms are lining up with their smaller family-owned farms as part of a state-initiated investment worth about $7.1 billion. The goal of the new initiative is to boost hog operations across the country that were hit hard by African swine fever. A Reuters report says 15 of the country's leading pig farms signed 19 agreements with local governments in 16 Chinese cities to raise pigs together. The Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs says these projects should produce over 22 million hogs for slaughter every year and will involve 33,000 poor rural families. While announcing the plan, the ministry did not give a specific timeline on when this would take place. Bigger farms are being encouraged to take a stake in or lease medium and smaller farms. They're also being asked to make these arrangements as quickly as possible by building a number of standardized household-based farms, slaughterhouses, and refrigerating centers. China's hog herd, once the biggest in the world, has dropped almost 40% since the ASF outbreak began in mid-2018. China is the world's biggest producer and consumer of pork. And while China has been the world's largest importer of soybeans for some time, Brazil and the United States have been competing for the top spot as the world's largest exporter to China. Back in the 1990s, the U.S. was the top soybean exporter. During the end of that decade, both the U.S. and Brazil increased their exports to answer a growing demand for soybeans in China. Brazil's exports grew more quickly than the U.S. during the 90s, and the U.S. supplied as much as 50% of soybeans to China for import, but that number has gradually declined further into the 2000s. Brazil's share first matched the U.S. total in 2002, when each country shipped about 35% of China's imports. Between 2002 and 2011, each country's share of soybean exports to China totaled between 35 and 50%. Brazil's share jumped to 50% of all exports to China between 2012 and 2016, as the U.S. share dropped to about 40%. That number would drop to 30% in 2017 as China's tariff on U.S. soybeans took effect later in the marketing year. During the first 9 months of China's 2018-19 marketing year, Brazil's share of the soybean import level rose to 77%, while the U.S. share was only 10%. Moving on to news from the USDA, the USDA's Economic Research Service looked into the ways that climate change could affect the cost of the federal crop insurance program. Researchers worked with statistical models to predict crop yields from historical weather data. They used weather simulations from climate models to build scenarios showing how yields might respond to climate change. Economic models then simulated how farmers and markets might respond to changes in weather and yield. The study explored the potential impacts in the year 2080. They compared climate scenarios arising from different projections of greenhouse gas emission levels to a hypothetical future with a climate similar to that of past several decades. Under that scenario, with the moderate emissions reductions, in which farmers adapt to changes in climate with adjustments to what they plant, and where they plant it and how they manage it to the cost of today's federal crop insurance program would average about 3.5% higher than under a future with a climate similar to that of the recent past. Under the scenario in which emissions trends continue, the cost of the federal crop insurance program would increase by an average of 22%. And things have been hard in the agricultural world, and more specifically, it's been hard to be a farmer. Wet weather, lower crop prices, as well as trade disputes have put some farmers on the edge. Financial stress is taking a toll, and successful farming has put together a list of signs that may indicate a farmer is suffering from significant financial stress. Signs include isolation or withdrawal, as well as taking a monotone voice or lacking facial expression, or outbursts of anger or abrasive behavior towards others, including children. After that, they list confusion, forgetfulness, and difficulty concentrating. Also on the list is blaming others, such as banks or spouses, binge eating, gambling, or drinking. Sleeping too much or not enough is also on the list, as is a lack of pride in the appearance of the operation, including the buildings and ground. Not caring for livestock is another sign to watch for, as are more farm accidents. Moving on now to local and national livestock news. Fake meat, or more specifically correct, the alternative protein, is everywhere these days, from your local grocery store to your favorite fast food location and all points in between. Why the seemingly sudden explosion in popularity in these alternative proteins? Danielle Beck is a lobbyist with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
You know, I think it depends on the company that you're looking at. There are conventional, traditional food companies that are investing in these products. And, you know, I think that they're making calculated business decisions. There are other companies, though, who are investing in these products, who are producing these products. And really, they're very transparent about the fact that their ultimate goal is to bring an end to traditional animal agriculture by 2035.
Beck adds, it's difficult to tell if these products are winning the hearts of American consumers. She says the NCBA has yet to see consumer data that indicates shopping habits are changing. But when alternative proteins do come up, the issue of labeling is never too far behind. So what does the NCBA want the Food and Drug Administration to do with this growing market? Beck says the FDA needs to make sure consumers know what they are buying.
If you're going to use the word beef or meat, we believe that you need to have the word imitation preceding the product name on the front of package in the same size font and lettering, because that's exactly what the law says. And absent a change of law, we see no reason that these companies should not be required to comply with that.
Beck adds that NCBA believes the word imitation provides a sufficient amount of information for consumers. They would also like to see some of the rhetoric and misleading marketing strategies toned down. Moving on now to the local Ag Community Bulletin Board, the University of Illinois Extension will be offering the state-mandated Certified Food Protection Managers class and exam. The Illinois Department of Public Health Food Sanitation Code requires that food service establishments be under the operational supervision of a Certified Food Protection Manager during their hours of operation. Certificates need renewal every 5 years, and class attendance is mandatory to sit for the exam. The two-day course will be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro on January 30th and 31st. Participants are required to attend both days of classes, and the exam will take place on the second day. It is also important to bring a photo ID to the class. The class will be taught by Lisa Peterson, nutrition wellness educator with the University of Illinois Extension. The class provides the minimum classroom work to prepare for the national certification exam, and topics will include foodborne illness, safe food handling, cooking and storage, employee health and hygiene, safety for the facility and maintenance, as well as cleaning and sanitation. Pre-registration is due by Thursday, January 16th, and that pre-registration is required because exams need to be ordered prior to the course. You can register by calling the Montgomery County Extension Office or visiting them online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM, and the phone number for the Extension Office in Hillsboro is 532-3941. Finally, the Carlinville FFA alumni will be holding a dinner auction at the Carlinville Elks Lodge on January 18th. On that Saturday, the doors will open at 5:30. A buffet dinner will be hosted at 6:30. Silent auction will be from 5:30 until 8, with the live auction starting at 8. Dinner will consist of ribeye or chicken breast, and that will be catered by the Carlinville Elks Lodge. There will be a cash bar available, and tickets are $20 for adults. Children 12 and under are $15. Tickets are available around Carlinville at CNB Bank and Trust, or PJ's Tire and Auto, or any FFA alumni member. All proceeds for this will be going to youth in the Carlinville FFA chapter, who are celebrating 90 years in 2020. And that'll wrap up this Monday morning edition of The Farm Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Monday morning, December 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.